Hudson's downtown restaurants have been a frequent topic of discussion here on the St. Croix Stories podcast, and Pete Foster is a big reason why the food scene in Hudson is as good as it is. Pete is the owner of not one, but three restaurants in town: Barker's Bar and Grill, San Pedro Cafe, and the newly rebranded Pedro's Pizza Lounge. For more than 20 years, Pete has left his mark on the downtown restaurants, and his establishments have become some of the favorite spots for both Hudson residents and visitors alike. I'm Tyler Mason, and on this week's episode of St. Croix Stories, Pete joins me on location from one of his restaurants to share about getting his start in the business, the inspiration for a Caribbean-themed restaurant, the work he's done to help aspiring restaurateurs launch their own businesses, and much more. Please enjoy my conversation with Pete Foster. I'm on location today for this episode of St. Croix Stories. I'm at Pedro's Pizza Lounge with the owner of said restaurant, Pete Foster, who is also the owner of Barker's Bar and Grill and San Pedro Cafe, and is also a shareholder of Tamarack Tap Room in Woodbury. Pete, thanks so much for taking the time today and for having me into the space.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into your background a little bit. So I believe you grew up in Hudson. Take me back to maybe childhood, living in Hudson, growing up in Hudson, and maybe how long you've lived here, after college and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. So really, I born in Minneapolis. All my family's from St. Paul, the Mack Groveland area.
Okay.
Brothers and cousins went to Creighton. I stayed in Hudson here. We, after moving around a little bit, Stillwater included, my parents kind of landed on Hudson way back. I was probably 7 or 8 years old.
Okay.
Attended St. Pat's grade school.
Sure.
Hudson Junior High. There was a junior high back then, no middle school. And of course, Hudson High School. So graduated from Hudson High School and ended up, attending University of Wisconsin Stout for the hotel restaurant management program there. Okay. And my wife is a longtime Hudson resident, as well as, her parents. So yeah. We've been here for a long time. After college, attending UW Stout for the hospitality program. Mm-hmm. I've got the degree. Back then, the Bachelor of Science degree was hotel and restaurant management, and now it's more of a hospitality degree.
Okay.
So I earned that along with a property management minor to go along with that. And thought I wanted to leave Hudson, leave the Twin Cities, and had done a couple of internships down in Chicago, right okay. down off of Michigan Avenue. I was fortunate to have a first cousin that was worked for Hilton Corporation and brought me down there for a couple of summers. So I really fell in love with Chicago pretty quick. And so after graduating from UW Stout, working my way through college, I worked at Barker's. So that was my job to support paying my tuition and my rent and everything. And so, I had been working in restaurants, from the time I was 13 years old, my first job was at the bakery in Hudson downtown,
okay.
which is now the dentist office.
Oh, sure. I know which one you're talking about, but I can't. Yeah. Is it right next to where the bakery is now?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
I can't so that was the bakery originally okay. in Hudson. That was my first job. Worked at a number of other restaurants, Hudson Harbor, which was next door to Barker's Bar and Grill back in the day. It's Hudson Tap now.
Sure.
Just love the restaurant industry. And of course, Barker's had just opened the year I graduated high school.
Okay.
So I met Bob Barker Wasman, who opened that restaurant, and became fast friends with him, and worked my way through college, and after college, headed off to Chicago,
yeah.
and I thought I was going to love it. I was more on the room side of the business as opposed to the restaurant side. Spent some time down there. I did like it, but of course, what a college kid gets paid upon graduating back in those days and supporting myself in a city like Chicago was a little bit tough. But my wife was back here, and so I wanted to get back. So I ended up leaving I worked for Marcus Corporation and Hilton down there in Chicago and got myself back and working at the old Radisson Hotel on Kellogg Avenue.
Okay.
Kellogg, which is now Crown Plazas. I can't even remember the name of it, but it's that big one right on Kellogg.
Right on Kellogg, yeah.
And I was banquet manager there, starting to get more, still obviously in a hotel setting, but getting to deal with a lot more of the food and beverage in the hotel, and I really enjoyed it. From there, I went to the Sheraton Midway, which is where Allianz Field is now.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
That was a very good experience. And I thought, well, heck, I don't really like the room side, but this banquet thing is pretty fun and always different. And thought I was gonna do that until I got a call from Bob Wasman and basically said, hey, do you want to come back and work for me full time? And of course, my answer was, well, you know, I would love to, Bob, but number one, I don't know, you know, where you're at with selling the restaurant, but I would be very interested in buying the restaurant. Mm. And so we, you know, I was given an opportunity and basically kind of went from there.
Yeah, and that was 1996,
That
right?
was 1996, okay. So July 1st of 1996 sure. is when I left the, you know, I called the corporate world because it really was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was scary and it was stressful, but, you know, it was an opportunity that I just couldn't pass up. I'd be kicking myself if I didn't pursue that. And I'm obviously very glad I did.
Yeah, so, it's worked out.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you knew the restaurant from working there. I'm curious, just those early days or early years, I guess, of Barker's, what was the restaurant like maybe before you took over or when you took over? And also, what was the food scene like in downtown Hudson? Because I imagine it was quite different then than it is now.
It was very different. Barker's was much smaller. It was probably, we added about 30 to 35% onto the Barker's building sometime in about 1997, about a year after I had gotten there, expanded our indoor seating at that time. What is our four season porch now at Barker's was an outside deck.
Okay.
And that was, you know, eventually closed in, but yeah, back in 1988, you know, 89, I mean, for many years, when Bob opened Barker's, you know, it was really the first, what we used to call expedition style kitchen, open kitchen, where, you know, the customers can, you know, watch their food be made and enjoy the show back there. And so that was, you know, a little bit risky for Bob as well as, you know, a lot of the food he was doing was, you know, was typically and generally scratch made. Not a freezer in the building. When I started there, we still just have a little two-door freezer. You know, we try to do as much of our product from scratch as we can. But Bob was doing that back in the early days. Hmm. And the food scene back in Hudson, you know, there really wasn't one per se. I mean, there was spots like, well, where the Black Rooster is.
Yeah, Windsor Stube, yep.
But before that was Act Two.
That's right, yep.
And that was a spot that, you know, had been in Hudson, that was open before Barker's. And of course there was, you know, there was quality. Dibble's always served a great breakfast. You know, mm-hmm. there was, you know, Dick's as well. But there was nothing, you know, really, you know, doing what we call Barker's is basically just elevated bar food, you know, and no one was really doing that at that time. And so it was a lot of late nights. Barker's at that point back in the early days, we were open till 2 a.m. We did the, you know, we wanted the bar crowd in there late. And that's what, you know, downtown Hudson would catch fire at about 10 o'clock on, you know, Friday, Saturday nights. Yeah. It was, we just, you know, we wanted a little piece of that. And eventually we found out that, no, we don't want a piece of that anymore. So we started closing, you know, much earlier, pretty much, you know, similar to what our hours are now. So, it was a lot different back in those days.
Yeah. And going back a little bit, you mentioned you got this call to come back to Barker's and you were interested in maybe, you know, purchasing it. At what point, I mean, maybe did owning a restaurant enter the picture for you after, you know, you're working at for hotels, but was that always a goal to own a restaurant at some point?
A restaurant or, you know, back when I, you know, I mean, earlier than that, I always loved the dream of owning a hotel.
Okay, sure.
You know, and so I always knew I wanted to work for myself. I just wasn't sure, you know, how soon that time was going to come, when I was going to be ready, you know, from a maturity standpoint. And it was always a dream of mine the answer is yes to that question. I just didn't think it would come that quickly.
Sure. Well, 4 years after you acquired Barker's, you opened your second restaurant, San Pedro Cafe, which we were just talking about what the food scene was like back then. I imagine that was a pretty big difference in the food scene. I guess, first of all, what was the inspiration for San Pedro Cafe?
Yeah. So San Pedro Cafe, yeah, we bought that building, Bob and I did, in 1998. At the time, it was called Mr. T's Bar.
Okay.
So it was just kind of a, you know, another kind of a, you know, bar that didn't really serve food. Maybe some pickled eggs behind the bar and beef jerky, but that was about it.
Maybe some pork rinds or something.
Right, right. But we ended up buying the building in 1998, and it took us, you know, it took us a couple years to do the renovation on the building. We didn't have any funds back then. It was all on a shoestring budget, so we did most of the work ourselves with friends of ours that, you know, were contractors and electricians and plumbers and so forth. And you know, the inspiration, you know, it came from really Bob's exposing me to Central America and Belize.
Okay.
He had actually taken his sailboat from the Bayport Marina all the way down to Belize, and
was
down there for 2 years, and then he ended up keeping his boat down there beyond that at the Belize Yacht Club, which is not on the mainland. It's I don't know, 30, 40 miles off the coast of the mainland Belize. Wow. It's a little island called Ambergris Key.
Okay.
And the town on that island, the only town on Ambergris Key, is San Pedro.
Oh, okay.
And so that's if you Google San Pedro, you know, Belize or Ambergris Key, you'll see that the town is still there. And,
okay.
And so we, you know, spent a lot of time down there back in the early days. And so, you know, we started to play around with and experiment with different types of cuisine, more reflective of that Caribbean kind of style at Barker's on our weekend features and our daily lunch features. And we kept, you know, kind of offering up different dishes that we thought, okay, you know, if this sells at Barker's, we can be pretty confident that, you know, that there is a, you know, a desire to have that sort of cuisine in town. And really the local customer base here, it was quite clear that, you know, they had a sophistication with their palates that they wanted more than cheeseburgers and chicken wings. Yeah. And that was evident in, you know, the great feedback that we got on all of these features that, that we used to do at Barker's. So that was kind of the inspiration. 98, it took us 2 years. We opened March 13th of 2000, we opened the San Pedro Cafe. And the original concept, it was kind of a two-part plan. The San Pedro Cafe was to open on the main level as you know it now. Mm-hmm. And we had dreams and aspirations of a more upscale fine dining concept called the Caribbean Grill above San Pedro. Obviously, that never materialized for many, many different reasons, mostly money. You know, we had when we went in to meet with bankers to try to get a little bit of financing to buy the San Pedro Cafe building and get this new concept off the ground, literally we were almost laughed out of about 6 to 8 different banks.
Really?
You know, back in 1998, we're asking for X amount of dollars to open a Caribbean restaurant in downtown Hudson. They thought we were crazy.
Yeah.
The one guy that gave us a shot, old Al Amernick, still with that bank to this day.
Okay.
He took a chance on us and we're forever grateful for that. And he has since retired last year, but I'm still loyal to that bank and that group of folks up there. So that's, you know, kind of the inspiration and history of San Pedro Cafe.
You mentioned the banks were a little bit hesitant, but you said the town and the community, at least at Barker's when you were trying it out, was receptive to it. When you opened San Pedro's actual restaurant, what was kind of the initial reaction? Did people love it?
People loved it right out of the gates. You know, it's not like we were, you know, as busy as we are today, but certainly, you know, back in, you know, 2024 years ago, we were very, very happy with the reception that we received. Now, originally, when the San Pedro Cafe opened, it was more of a cafe sort of a vibe in there. We were open for breakfast 7 days a week.
Oh, okay.
We had, you know, like the bar, the mounted permanent, little stools, like diner stools. Sure. There were six or eight of them at the bar. There was a big deli display case there where we did, you know, pasta salads and sandwiches and different things that, you know, kind of the idea for that was to kind of catch the boating crowd and offer something that they could just grab and go, you know, the whole home meal replacement concept. And really that whole program of the cafe part of our concept never really stuck in terms of being open for breakfast 7 days a week. And obviously, you know, we wanted to provide more space at our bar for, you know, for folks to drink the cocktails and beer and wine and so forth. So we did a pretty big renovation, maybe it was 5 years after we had opened and maybe it was sooner than that. Maybe it was 3 to 5 years after we opened when we said, okay, this cafe part of the concept is not really working and let's shift more to, you know, full service bar. And so we did a renovation, one of, I think, four major renovations we've done in the last 24 years. Okay. So once we did that, we were able to pull in, you know, a whole new crowd of people, you know, different demographics, obviously people that like to drink wine and a good margarita.
Yeah. I think my first time there, probably 2007, 2008, I was telling you before we started, my wife is from Hudson. So when we're dating, she took me, that was one of the first restaurants that I went to in Hudson, that, and I think Agave Kitchen were the two first two that I went to, and we were sat in one of the tables right in the window there, and I had to remember the sandwich and everything. So nice. Yeah, that was my intro to it. So it was after the, you know, the changeover from
the sandwich you had?
Cast iron chicken. Yep, okay. That was it. All right. So yeah,
I've good memory. Memories.
Yeah, I've been back plenty since, that's for sure. Kind of along those lines, it's been, you know, almost 25 years now of San Pedro Cafe. You go in there, you see the you know, newspaper clippings, you see all the awards that you've won, you know, both here in the St. Croix Valley, but also just kind of more regionally. What does that mean to you to have kind of those accolades, that recognition over the years that, you know, people have discovered it and people have loved it for that long, not just San Pedro, but, you know, Barker's as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it obviously feels good to get that recognition and get those awards. But, you know, more importantly, it makes me really proud to shed light on the, you know, the vibrant, historic Hudson dining scene. The more we can bring awareness by receiving these awards, it just benefits all of the restaurants, all of the retail, our whole community downtown. It's, you know, it's also very meaningful because the success of the restaurants are shared with, you know, just a absolutely incredible team of employees that we've had. Management team, culinary back of the house, front of the house. You know, we work really, really, really hard to get it right every day. And you know, that is, I guess, what I take away from those awards is it's great to get them, but I think it's even greater and makes me more proud that we can kind of bring awareness to Hudson and especially downtown Hudson and really focusing on, you know, this is just a short trip away. You're 20 minutes away from St. Paul, 30 minutes away from Minneapolis, all of the surrounding suburbs. You can get here really easy. And that is, I think, in a nutshell, what these awards mean to me and our staff and my family.
Yeah. So. Well, you mentioned that willingness to drive. One of my best friends from college, his name is Scott, he comes into the Twin Cities. He lives in Chicago now, but he comes in and comes in for a day and he'll stay by the airport. And we introduced him to San Pedro years ago. And every time he comes, he'll make a special trip out from by the airport just to come have dinner with us at San Pedro.
Awesome. So
he's got to get his San Pedro fix.
I appreciate that. Thank you. That's awesome.
Well, I wanted to kind of move to your next endeavor then. After, you know, years of two successful restaurants, you decided to open a third, and it's in the space we're sitting now. It was called Pedro's Del Este, which offered tapa-style plates and craft cocktails, just right behind San Pedro. I'm curious at that point, why add a third? I'm guessing you were plenty busy as it was, but what was maybe the thought behind a third?
Well, that was kind of the reason, precisely because we were busy and, you know, there's a little bit more to it than that. But the opportunity arose to purchase this piece of real estate that we're sitting in here. We like the idea of creating a new space. The concept evolved as we wanted to, you know, we wanted a lounge atmosphere that served, you know, really, you know, what we consider to be true, authentic, high-end craft cocktails. No one was doing that 7 years ago in town. And so that was filling that niche also while offering almost a, you know, a waiting area for the San Pedro Cafe. Because we had gotten to the point where we were so busy, you know, and we're a small restaurant, right? It doesn't take a whole lot to fill up our 100 seats or whatever we've got. But we were losing out on a lot of customers that would put their names on the wait list. And then at the end of the day, they never ended up dining with us, which means they left. They went to, you know, Agave. They went to Pier. They went to all these other great restaurants that we have in town, which you can't blame them. But we wanted to hold on to those folks. And and so what could we do to sort of try to capture those folks? Craft cocktails, of course, you know, the location is, you know, what, 20 steps Stone's away from our back door. Del Este, by the way, means to the east. So Pedro's to the east is just, you know, kind of where we came up with that silly name. And so obviously we needed some sort of food element here as well. And what also wasn't being done in Hudson at that time was, you know, small plates, tapas style cuisine. And so we ended up landing on kind of this concept. My wife and I were huge fans of the small plates tapas dining experience. We were really fascinated with Cuban culture, the art, food, drinks.
Just within the last couple of months, it's transitioned to a new concept, Pedro's Pizza Lounge, you know, serving pizza by the slice. And you still have the craft cocktails and all of that. But I'm kind of curious to learn about the shift. Was it, you mentioned COVID, was that a big driver of it?
Is this it was really. I mean, once COVID hit our industry, obviously, as you and everybody else knows, I mean, the amount of restaurants that we lost, really good, really, really good restaurants, even in, you know, in the Twin Cities market was astonishing. And part of the, you know, what really made it tough for operators was, you know, obviously, you know, our cost of goods with supply chain issues and so forth really drove up those costs. Labor, when folks came back to work, you know, labor was, you know, essentially, you know, 50, 60, 70% more in some positions than it was prior. So I knew after we got reopened after COVID, I knew that we had to change the concept here. That model for the, you know, the type of food that we were doing, the amount of labor it took to prep some of these high cost ingredients, you know, we just are too small. You have, you know, for that to be successful, you have to do, you know, a fair amount of volume. Right. And we just weren't busy enough to support that model. So we started thinking about what are we going to do here? There was thoughts of potentially bringing San Pedro Cafe concept up here. That idea was after we got into kind of the logistics and all the moving parts of how that would work. Just it was pretty obvious that wasn't going to work. We had been talking about New York style pizza for a while after COVID. We really believe that we have, you know, the quality of the ingredients and the team to, you know, to be successful long term, and we're going to continue to do our best every day. And you know, I'm so thankful for the community for being so supportive of us, which the Hudson and St. Croix Valley community has always been just incredibly supportive. And you know, they are patient with us, too, when we open these new restaurants, because we've done this now several times. And there is a learning curve, and we're in that curve right now. We're on that curve, however you want to say it, and we're really making improvements every day, every week, and we hope to have things, you know, as close to perfection as we can very soon. So we're really happy about the Pedro's Pizza Lounge, and people so far seem to be really liking it.
Good. Well, your track record, I think, it speaks for itself. So, you know, good things to come with that. And I'm kind of curious now, as we talk about, you know, kind of managing these or owning these three restaurants, what a day in the life of Pete Foster looks like. Is it, how do you kind of juggle those three? And of course, we mentioned Tamarack Tap Room in Woodbury too. I mean, what does a day look like for you? How do you kind of balance all that?
Well, you know, Tamarack Tap Room is, you know, we really, I do nothing there, to be honest with you, other than I sit on the board and we have, you know, our quarterly meetings. We represent, our board represents the shareholders in the group, and we've got a great management company that operates that restaurant. They've got a number of other concepts. So, you know, kind of hands off over there. Sure. here, it's something different every day. Mm-hmm. During COVID and you know, post COVID, you know, 12, 18, 24 months later, staffing the restaurants was like the highest priority, because there was nights and days even for lunches where we couldn't open one of these restaurants because we just didn't have people. There was no one applying, you know, everybody was, you know, still nervous about COVID, and that lasted, that ripple effect, you know, was like I said, 12, 18, even 24 months post COVID. So that is what took up a lot of my time recently. We have turned the corner in that regard, I would say. As of about 8 months ago, things started really improving in terms of the potential employee pool that is available to us. Really, the upkeep and maintenance on these buildings is a big part of what I do. And then, of course, you know, still weekly meetings with managers. Every Wednesday, we meet for 2 hours and we talk about, you know, we still talk about staffing every week and where we're at with that. And of course, everything else that is in the restaurant world, whether there's, you know, staffing issues, if there's any customer issues, if we've got menu updates, if we've got, you know, if we've got special events coming up, catering events, you know, those there's always something that's of great importance every week, and we need to prioritize those items. But at the end of the day, my mantra, my wife, our management team is making sure that we provide the most healthy work environment for our staff that we can, while not only being a safe space to work, a fun place to work, and a place where they can make money. But at the same time, we allow our staff to be as creative as we possibly can. That gives them an outlet, both in the kitchen, behind the bar, for folks to feel, you know, ownership in the operation. And well, we've got a number of order of wings and burgers over at Barker's, pizzas at San Pedro. These are contests that we've had employees come up with these things. We run contests. Whatever is the most popular and sells the most, it goes on the menu. Huh. And so the employees seeing their dish on the menu is I think pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's kind of my day.
Sure. Keeps you busy.
Keeps you busy, yeah.
Well, speaking of kind of supporting, you know, chefs, young chefs maybe figuring their way out, I know that's something you've enjoyed in the past, is helping kind of foster these budding chefs, and you've had, you know, some kind of test kitchens or places that have been able to operate out of this location that we're at right here, former Del Este.
Yep.
What do you enjoy most about being able to kind of help others kind of get their foot in the door a little bit that way?
Well, I feel like, you know, I feel like I was given a really great, unique opportunity to buy into Barker's when I was 26 years old. And the generosity from, you know, my original business partner, Bob Wasman, was just a really big turning point for me and my family. And having the ability to offer chefs a space to test concepts, to build their clientele, to prepare to open a restaurant in a safe space with guidance, I think feels really good. I wanted to be able to pay it forward, and we want to continue to do that. We've obviously put a bit of a pause on it here with the new opening of the Pizza Lounge,
right.
But you know, our past executive chef that was with us for a long time before Chef Jeff came on board, Luke Sautel.
Yeah.
And his significant other, Riley. Luke worked for us for a long time. Mm-hmm. Did an exceptional job for us. And he had a lifelong dream and passion to create an Italian restaurant. And, you know, I'm happy to say that he and Riley have opened a great new restaurant in Bayport called Olio. He might be a good podcast interview.
I still have to get to his restaurant, but I've not been there yet.
Yeah. You got to go. It's awesome. Really, really great food. Those are the kind of the success stories that I really, it makes me feel really, really good.
Yeah.
To see that happen. And there's been a number of other employees that we have that have their own restaurants now. You know, I mean, 28 years is a lot of people that have gone through. And there's a number of folks in the Twin Cities that have their own restaurants, and some other folks, you know, Tony Leone, who owns the West Wind and the catering outfit in River Falls.
Okay.
He was our chef for a long time. There's a number of those examples, and it really... That's what gives me pride and makes me feel good.
And I've never opened a restaurant myself, but I can imagine there's a lot of hurdles to get through. So to have
it's a lot, you know, of
that,
stuff,
to have that kind of head start, to, you know, whether it's Olio, I know Melt Pizza started here and is now in Stillwater too. So just to have that kind of opportunity to test things out and to have some mentorship, I'm sure it goes a long way for them. And
yeah.
So kudos to you for that.
Appreciate it.
A couple more for you here. So looking at the kind of your impact on the food scene, I would argue, you know, was kind of helped transform and maybe make this food scene in Hudson what it is today. How would you describe the food scene to others who maybe aren't familiar with it? You mentioned the Wild Fan earlier, not even knowing where Hudson was. So
right.
People that maybe think Hudson is far away, how would you describe the food scene or maybe why people should come here?
I think the food scene is diverse. I think there's certainly a number of different types of cuisine and different concepts that, you know, speak to large demographics of people. I think there's of course pizza, burgers, chicken wings. You say they're a dime a dozen, and I've gotten that comment from lots of people asking me, well, why would you open a pizza shop? They're a dime a dozen. Well, the restaurants that you see that have been here in Hudson, you know, especially post COVID, that mm-hmm. was a huge test for all of these are all good operators, really good operators, or they wouldn't be open.
I was going to say, most of them stood that test and are
they did.
Still strong today.
They did. And I think the food scene, there's a lot of different types of food that are offered. There are more upscale concepts and there's mm-hmm. certainly more casual concepts. I think there's something for everybody. I think that what most people don't realize is that the restaurant operators in Hudson, the owners, the management, the chefs, we all have to work together mm-hmm. because, you know, there is no doubt once a week when, hey, we ran out of, you know, to-go boxes. Yeah. I need a favor here.
Yeah.
You know, Chad from Urban called me, you know, 2 days ago and needed cilantro. And it's like we do, you know, we'll borrow stuff from, you know, Pier 500 or Dick's or Agave or whatever, you know, and it's a community. And I think that we're all kind of marching towards the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
Most people that aren't in this industry just think, well, why they're your competition. Why would you want to help them? Or why would you, you know, and that it's just the opposite. The restaurant scene in downtown Hudson is great. And it's only going to get better in my opinion. And, we're just so fortunate to be, you know, in this downtown with all of these independent restaurants. You know, we've got coffee and ice cream shops and sandwich shops. Obviously, the best bakery in the Twin Cities is next door to...
Former podcast guest, Charles.
He's another stout guy, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so the best bakery in the Twin Cities. Downtown Hudson is just so unique. I mean, you got the St. Croix River, the lakefront, incredible food and shopping. These retailers that, you know, are doing business downtown are phenomenal mm-hmm. operators. They help the restaurants, and I like to think that the restaurants help them. So that's a partnership as well. And Mary Claire with the Chamber of Commerce does a phenomenal job. She is really, really good at what she does. And also I have to mention the city of Hudson, and they get a fair amount of their critics, but the leadership and staff within the city of Hudson generally do the right thing. And I've seen in 28 years, there's been incredible changes downtown. The city does a great job. The chamber does a great job. This new pier down here is going to be a game changer this summer. We've been talking about that since Jack Bro was mayor back in, you know, the mid 90s. Hmm. He's been, you know, they've been trying to get this deal done. And it's, I think that's going to really allow a lot of transient boaters to come up and go to a shop or go to a bar, go to, you know, go get a sandwich somewhere. So I couldn't be more happy and proud to be from Hudson. Favorite thing about Hudson, can I tell you?
Sure. I had one other question, but yeah, we can, we'll end with that. That sounds good. Favorite thing about Hudson?
Favorite thing about Hudson?
Yeah.
It's the community. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the people that live here, and obviously the river is a huge draw, and our family, big into boating and spending a lot of time on the river, and we love it. We wouldn't have it any other way. We've got, as I mentioned, four daughters, mm-hmm. Keegan and Brennan are up at UMD.
Okay.
Keegan is a junior. Brennan is just finishing her freshman year up there. And then her twin sister, Franny, is the one that's in New York.
Okay.
And then we've got our youngest, Claire, is 15 years old. And we love Hudson. We love the people. You know, it's the community, you know, it's home to us. So, yeah. So we are very, very fortunate.
Yeah. I was going to ask you what the recipe for the lemon habanero aioli was, but I don't figure you probably won't give that up on the podcast.
Top secret.
That's all right. I'll try next time. Well, Pete, this is great. I really enjoyed learning more about you, about the restaurants. Obviously I'm pretty familiar with all of them, but just to learn a little bit more about your journey and your love of Hudson and this community has been great. So I want to thank you for the time today and thank you for what you've done for this community over the years.
Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate, as I told you before we started the podcast, you're doing a great service to the people of Hudson and the community. And I think it's really fun getting to know the stories of all these folks that, yeah, I know that person's name, or I know that he or she works or there or owns that. And to really get to know them a little bit better through these podcasts, I think is a great service to Hudson. So keep doing your thing, and we appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate the kind words. And thanks, everybody. I appreciate you for tuning in to this episode of St. Croix Stories. If you don't subscribe to the podcast yet, be sure to check it out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, at stcroixstories.com. Tell your friends and your neighbors about it to help get the word out about stories like Pete and others here in our community. Until next time, everyone, have a great day.